pressure from the world around you. There was a movie a couple years ago, came out called Stranger Than Fiction, and it had Will Ferrell in it. There's a picture of it. Will Ferrell, his first little thing where he was not crazy and over-the-top funny. It was more of a serious role, although he was kind of funny in it. And he was a data analysis guy for the IRS. And the opening scene is this. Him, like, he counts how many brush strokes he does every day. Shows him peeling an orange. 3, 4, and these imaginary numbers come around him. 5, 6, 7, 8. And how many steps he takes to the subway. It's counting them all. He loved his universe controlled. He wanted absolute control over his tiny little universe. Very calculated, very careful way to live life. And oh, by the way, he was very, very lonely. Very lonely. He wanted every square inch of his little universe under his own control. Today is sort of about control. Or should I say, it's our desire for control. All of us have a tendency to want to control things. All of us in here. So there's this range or scale of how much we want to control and how that comes out. If you're about to go on a roller coaster ride and you haven't been on one in a long time, how does your body react when the first thing kind of what's the first thing you do? Are you loose and easy? Are you just kind of you tense up? Now why do you tense up?
You know what's coming.
You know what's coming. I have this weird theory that I think that's our way of controlling our little universe without us really thinking about it. Like if this thing goes off the rails and I somehow go shooting to the moon, I'm going to be prepared for it. I'm going to be clenched up and ready. That's how we like to control
it. I don't think it goes through my mind every time, Brad.
Well, it's subconscious. We're not thinking that, but that's sort of...
Well, if it goes off the rails when you're going down.
Well, at least we're going to be, you know...
I don't think anything else is going to help.
It won't.
I
think I remember
just
like, oh my God, what is this? And I'm like, wait a second. If you want to die, and when it happens, shut me off, I'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your life will save other people's lives.
But what about this one? There's a scale. That one's the low end of the thing. That's kind of like we laugh at that. But there's a scary part of this whole, we like to control things. We like our universe controlled by ourselves. There was an athlete not too long ago who, everybody was talking about how great they were. They were a runner. This really did happen. There was a runner, and the whole town sort of like, in his local high school said, we haven't seen talent like this in years. Finally, someone to put our town on the map. And it was the big state meet, and the newspapers were there, and everybody was there. Well, he's taken off. He's gone. He's at least, you know, 4 or 5 paces in front of people. And then all of a sudden, his hamstring kind of tenses up, and he falls down. Everybody passes him, and it's sort of like, oh, the town felt bad. 10 years later, he comes out and says, that wasn't a hamstring. I did that on purpose. We're like, what? I didn't like everybody putting the microscope on my life. I didn't like the pressure. I didn't like all this other stuff. And so that was just a way to handle it. Like, I don't have to worry about disappointing the whole town if I did that. Fast forward to this. I mean, I've used this before, but there's a kid in one of my classes. I was, believe it or not, a second and third grade teacher. And there's a kid in one of those classes. How do I put this without sounding mean? He was the biggest jerk to all the other kids in the class. Like, obnoxious, loud. Everybody rolled their eyes when he raised his hand because it was going to be something like, just not smart. And one day, he did something wrong, and I said, you know, you have to stay after class. Don't do recess, and you're just going to have to... Look at those jammies. Those are so cute. you're going to have to stay after class. You're going to have to, I don't know, beat the little chalkboard things or something. And so he's in there, and I decided, okay, we're going to have a heart-to-heart. Hey, and I'll just use his name, a fake name. Hey,
let's see.
Jim Bob, you know, I don't know how to put this to you, Jim Bob, but, like, a lot of your friends, do you understand why they, I'm not trying to be mean here, I'm just trying to help you out later on in life. There's a big birthday party, and you didn't get an invitation. That's kind of sad and kind of mean. But, I'm kind of just wondering why, do you see the side of things where you're, and he says, yeah. So says, oh yeah, I'm a jerk to him.
What?
Well, how about not being it? He said, no, I am, and that's how I want things to be. Like, I know I'm going to get rejected. I'll just be the one to control my rejection. He didn't say it in those terms. He said it in third grade terms. But his idea was this.
This is like high school.
No, he's a third grader. He was like, if I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to control how I'm rejected. It won't blindside me. I was taken aback at this little third grader thought, well, I can control my little universe to this degree. James 4:13. Here's how it goes. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such town and spend a year there and we'll make a profit. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. All right. Okay, I hear you, James. I hear you, James. James 14. We're going to talk about this. The first thing is this. That was the verse we just read. Number one, uncomfortableness of control. We don't have nearly as much of it as we like to think we do. That's uncomfortable because we trick ourselves into thinking that we do have control. James cuts to the chase here and says, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. The uncomfortable thing about control is this. We don't have nearly as much as we think we do. I remember that when this really started to sink in, I went through a weird phase at 18. Like, I would watch the news for some reason. I don't know why. I would get freaked out. Like, that thing's going to happen in Aiken tomorrow. And it was just 3 months of just assuming the worst, assuming the worst, assuming the worst, assuming the worst. Really weird, but it's extremely comfortable to realize there's some scary stuff that can happen, and we don't have as much control as we can.
I'm sorry. Our tater cases are the exact same.
What? Don't get those mixed up. All right, back to this. Here's the deal. We're not going to be too long here. God does something with the future. He veils it from us. God veils the future from us.
Oh, I see.
Yes. It's like a curtain, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
No one's there.
Don't follow the analogy all the way. Just God.
Wait, that looks freakishly like the Asian playhouse.
No, it's really big.
Yeah.
I don't know what
it looks
like.
No, it does look really bad.
Just hang with me for a second. Let's think about this, because you think on a different level. Why is this gracious that God keeps the future from us? Why is it gracious?
We would react differently to everything. We would live like we're already in the future, and so try to get ready for it.
Okay, how about this? How about this, Hannah? And you know what I'm talking about. Anybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever had a huge test in 10 days? And that's all you could think of? Okay, God does that with us. He withholds the future knowledge of what's going to happen because that's all we think about. If we knew...
You knew you were going to fail the test.
Not failing necessarily, just the test. Something hard coming up in 10 days, you usually don't clear your mind of all things. You usually only think about that. So, as your days leading up to that, here's what a smart guy says. He says this, so that we may enjoy the calm seas we're currently in, God views all coming storms from our vision. He blocks the view. So that we can enjoy the calm seas, he blocks our view of the coming storm. Because that's all we think about if we knew all the bad stuff that's going to happen. Our minds would be so fixated on, oh no, oh no, oh no. But in all this discussion, realize something. This was James' thing to the church he was writing to. I have a theological question.
Deep question.
Okay.
Would you rather know the day you die or how you die?
Oh.
Why don't we talk about that with the guys? Let's talk about that with the guys.
How?
But here's James' point. We have a tendency to make plans and leave God out of it. He's writing to a church and says, don't do this, church. You have a tendency to make plans and to leave God out of it. To make plans and to leave him out of it. You and I are just like that. Some of y'all are going to be going in college very, very soon. Very soon. So you have big, huge decisions to come up. Some of y'all are not quite there, and you're deciding on other things. But please, I hope that the Lord is front and center in that decision. I hope that He is. Not too long ago, I'm not going to name names, but somebody in this group, no, not in this group, a couple years ago, he's since graduated. He came up to me afterwards and said, I've got to admit something to you, and I say this shamefully. I'm looking at colleges, I'm looking at all this other stuff. I have not once brought this to the Lord's throne. I've only thought about this from what does it benefit me? It's easy to do. I get what he's saying. It's really easy to do. What we tend to do is we make our plans and then we shove God in there. And James won't let us do that. He says, don't do that. Just to wrap up the first point. Uncomfortable thing about control. None of us here knows what the future holds. And there's a relationship between control and faith. The more we fear and try to control, the less faith we have God will actually come through. The more you're trying to control your life, the less you have God in your plans. The more we're trying to control our lives, the less we have God in our plans. Think about that one for a second. None of us knows the future, what it holds. There is a relationship between control and faith. The more you're trying to control your life, the less faith you have God's going to come through. That's just how it goes. Second part, the uncomfortable thing about our life. For you're a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. If you've ever ran hot water in a bathroom, shower bath, something like that. It's supposed to be. Comes up on the window, comes up on the mirror. And then all of a sudden you open the door, and it goes away very quickly. Did you like that? That's dramatic. That's what James says your life is. That's what James says your life is. That little time where it just goes away. That's what your life is. That's uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Totally different way of looking at life, though. The Bible will later say in 2 Peter that 1,000 years in eternity will seem like a day. We don't like to think this way. Really, what would the effect of knowing that right here and right now is a small trip compared to billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and keep going years? How would that affect your daily reality if you lived like that was actually to the truth? Like this little tiny dot right here on earth, eternity. How would that affect? And here's a couple things to think about. When we consider eternity, would you hold grudges as much? Like how much do you think it's going to matter when we're in glory about what somebody said about us? I mean, I don't mean to minimize, like, if you get hurt by that. I mean, that's real. You need to address that. But, like, when we, like, think about the year 2 billion in heaven. We're all going to be there. Are you going to sit there and honestly go, you know what? Remember what happened in 2015? I don't like that. I don't think that's going to happen. We go through what one guy calls eternity amnesia. We forget that the here and now is just a split second. Eternity amnesia. Here's another thing to think about. Would you worry as much? Living with the reality that you're only here for a few short moments, why spend them worrying about stuff you couldn't control? That's James' point. Consider your life. It's a vapor. And I don't mean to sound this as a depressing, like, down way. I mean to sound like a good way. You don't want to look back at your life and go, I wasted it all. I wasted it worrying about stuff I couldn't control. I wasted it holding grudges. I wasted it doing all this other stuff. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Especially over stuff you have little control over. So, just like we first mentioned, the Lord keeps us ignorant about the future. It's veiled for our good. And secondly, He reminds us of here of another thing that seems uncomfortable at first, but really it's good. Life is very, very short. The world takes this information, it goes, well, just party. We take this information and do something else with it. How can I make much of you, God? How can I do what you want? Okay, so the last part we're going to talk about is this. The uncomfortableness of dependence. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we shall do this or that. And then he ends with this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live or do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it for him, it is sin. That's the final part. Dependence. Put your mind around this truth. God is sovereign. And I think all of us in this room would consider, yeah, we would sign up for that. God is sovereign. He controls all things. Okay. I believe that. But you know how sovereign God really is. So here, let's just go through this. Job lost all 10 of his children. And how did the Bible say? The Lord took them away. Joseph, horrible adult life. God intended his suffering. Isaiah 45:7, God is the cause of calamity when it strikes a city. Amos 3:6, destruction doesn't strike a city apart from the will of the Lord. This is very uncomfortable. Paris was the will of the Lord. Acts 13:48, people don't believe in Jesus unless they have been appointed to believe in Jesus. It says there, I think 2,000 believed in Jesus that day, comma, as many as the Lord appointed. He is sovereign over every molecule in this universe. There's not a stray molecule out there, subatomic particle. It's not part of God's sovereignty. So, and you're supposed to depend on him? Yes. Yes. Here's something else. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Even dice when you're playing Yahtzee is from the Lord, says Proverbs. Even that is from the Lord, part of his sovereignty. Now, we're supposed to depend on him. Yes. Remember, Joseph and all his sufferings and the bad that happened to him, Joseph's interpretation of his experiences is important because he said that God intended them to happen. God intended the sins and suffering of Joseph's betrayal by his brothers, his near death, his enslavement, all that bad stuff. But the difference between his brothers and God was not that they intended Joseph's suffering while God did not. The difference was the designs. The brothers had this certain design for his sufferings. God had this different design. God had a design for his sufferings that the brothers were ignorant of. Now is it going to do the thing? Oh no, we're stuck. Oh well. So hang with me, we're almost done. He controls every subatomic particle and wills everything to happen, but you never have to wonder if he's loving. Never ever have to wonder if he's loving. He entered into creation with all its brokenness and all its dysfunction, brought on by our sin. He allowed a group of jealous Jewish religious leaders to bring false charges against him. He allowed a Roman army to take him captive. He allowed there to be what's called a kangaroo court. It's not really, it was just bad justice. He allowed Pontius Pilate to stand up and be kind of flaky. He allowed Jesus to finally go up there. He allowed all those people to throw things at him, hurl insults, finally jab him in the side. He allowed him to die. And then he, breathing his last in our place as our substitute, he arose from the grave 3 days later. You absolutely can depend on him because that's his character. In Acts 4, there's a prayer from one of the apostles in the same town where Jesus was killed just a few weeks afterwards. And here's what he says. He says this, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. He's admitting that that plan of the cross was predestined. Is it about that? That was Joseph.
No, go ahead.
Yeah?
No. Why can't I only see half the board?
Unbeknownst to all the Jewish religious leaders, unbeknownst to the Romans, they were carrying out God's plan. I want you to really wish. Listen to this. When through the deep waters, listen to this. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. It's a rhyme. For I will be with thee. It's supposed to be thy troubles to bless and sanctify thee in thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace is all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and the gold to refine. Listen to this. This will be the final thing. Listen to this. God works in such a way that, let's just say, growth, victory, whatever you want to call it, is oftentimes camouflaged as hardship. I want you to really relish the good news. Number one, you're not in control. That's actually good. Number two, God views stuff from us. He hides it from us. We don't know the reason. We would simply think about the next bad thing. Number three, the best news there is a design that the one controlling one has. And it might look like awful, bad, nasty, but just remember the cross. He designs whatever happens in your life. He designs whatever happens. And oftentimes, it's camouflaged as bad, horrible stuff.
And that's why you can't see it.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes.
So basically, God is hiding in the woods.
No.
Basically, God is here.
No. Let's pray.
No.